Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio shows. This is the edition of Clarify Your Life with Associate Pastor Kimberly Horvath. Hello, Kimberly. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good. I just wanted to say hi before I finish the announcements. I don't know why.
Okay.
It's been so long.
Hey, just wanted to do something new.
Yeah, exactly. I want to let everybody know that the youth show will be airing tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we also have a new show called Presence, Poems, and Prayers by Margie Isaac. I want you to go to www.jhom.org and check out our website and check out all our resources. Now, Pastor.
Yes, ma'am. You know people think we're crazy, right?
Yes, yes, yes. You know, we're peculiar people. That's what he told us. We're peculiar.
Yes, yes.
We don't act like anybody else.
Talk about that today.
Oh, whoa. The Holy Spirit has entered the room. You have the floor.
Yes, the Holy Spirit has entered the room. Well, hello, everyone. I'm so excited to be able to be here to bring you this program. And, you know, I'm actually very happy that we're doing this today, the day after Resurrection Sunday. You know, I've really been in a place spiritually where I've been communicating with God on a whole new level, and it's been very exciting. And so
yes.
Today, you know, I've been talking to God. You know, yesterday I started talking to God about resurrection and about what it means, and I had the opportunity to watch a movie, I think it was on TBN. It was the Word Network, one of those. I don't know where it was.
Okay.
But it was about Peter when he was in jail for the last time, before he actually was crucified. And, it was an adaptive story about what happened with Peter and the jailers that jailed him. And, it was just interesting because, you know, I sometimes sit and I think, you know, different questions about, you know, I wonder what happened with this and I wonder what happened with that, or can you imagine if this. You know, and so that gave some life to it. And, you know, so I started talking to God about the resurrection as a result of that program. And
okay.
He started talking to me and actually began to talk about things in my life that he wanted me to resurrect.
Ooh.
And I was like, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
And then he said, you know, and when you go on this show tomorrow, I want you to talk about some things, because there are some things that I want people to resurrect. You know, I want them to think about resurrection in a whole new way. And
okay.
So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about resurrection.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Woo.
All right.
Here we go.
So,
yes.
You know, we understand resurrection, you know, literally from, you know, the meaning of rising from the dead. You know,
yes.
we're actually talking about Jesus rising. And it's funny, I was talking with a girlfriend of mine this morning, and she was talking about a Facebook post that she's seen, and she was a little bit aggravated about people who were talking about Easter versus resurrection. She was like, yeah, a lot of people don't understand what the term Easter is, but some people are putting it out there as if to say, well, you know, you guys are celebrating a pagan holiday. And I said, look, you know, basically when you know better, you do better.
Yeah, exactly.
And coming up, we always called it Easter, but we
mm-hmm.
understood what we were celebrating. You know,
exactly.
there was never any confusion on what we were celebrating. And
mm-hmm.
if people want to make a big deal about the name, it's okay, because we have switched it to Resurrection Sunday. How about that?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
But I don't care who you are as a Christian. If you are a Christian, I don't care if you call it Easter or if you call it Resurrection Sunday, because I understand what you are celebrating. We were
yes.
never celebrating any of that other pagan stuff. We were always celebrating the rising of our Savior.
You know, it's interesting on my video for Resurrection Sunday, I pointed out that, you know, we need to get back to making sure our children know what they're celebrating.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's so key.
It is key. You know, I mean, coming up as a kid, I understood what Easter was. It was our Resurrection Sunday. You know, like, I wasn't thinking about an Easter bunny and toys and, you know,
right,
things like
candy.
That. Did I want an Easter basket with candy? Yeah, sure I did. I was a kid.
Right? Yes, exactly.
But I understood that I was going to church, that we were going to go to church early in the morning for sunrise service, that church was going to be packed, and that we were going to be talking about the resurrection of the Lord. Now, what
right.
I didn't quite understand as much was why I didn't always understand. Like, I understood that this was the day that he rose. I understood that. What I
right.
didn't understand is why people flocked to church on that Sunday and not any other Sunday, because he was resurrected all those Sundays. You know what I mean? So as a kid, my mind was already thinking like that. Like, you know, I mean, you just coming on
yeah.
Easter, but, you know, it's the
yeah.
4th of July. He was resurrected now, too. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, my mother was right. I was a peculiar kid.
Yeah, okay. But that's a good point. You know, then we have I look out my window, I look at the back of a church, and it was amazing how many cars were packed in there, you know,
uh-huh.
for to go to service. And it's like, oh, okay. You know,
yeah,
they hit
yeah.
the big holidays, Easter, Christmas, and, you know, some people hit New Year's. So,
and I have to say, I'm glad that they do. I'm
mm-hmm.
glad that they have, you know, a reverence for spiritual times, high spiritual times. I'm really glad that they do. I pray that God continues to push them to develop even more of a relationship where they're communicating with him on a regular basis, an everyday
exactly.
basis, and really
exactly.
learning more about him. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm grateful. You know, wherever God can get in, he can get in. But, you know, you really can celebrate the resurrection every day.
Yes.
You really can, because
yes.
the resurrection occurred. Amen.
Yes.
It's like celebrating
Amen.
A birthday every day. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can, because the birthday occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just, you know, I needed to talk about that whole, you know, rising from the dead, and my girlfriend seeing that Facebook post. But then she also said, you know, that there was, a mini debate going on about, you know, Christ didn't rise in 3 days, you know, if you count the days from Friday to Sunday. And she's like, yeah, but it's on the third day, which is what it was. And I said, yeah,
right.
but you know what? I don't care if it took him 3 days, 2 days, 4 days, 25 days. The point is that he rose.
Yes.
that's the point to me. And
that,
I don't
that,
care
that,
how many
he's alive.
Days he took.
Yes, he's
and
alive.
He is alive. So,
yes.
you know, I think that in our, you know, sometimes, you know, in our need to prove, you know, that we are right or that someone is wrong or whatever the case might be, I think that sometimes we need to look at the practicality of our word. And
mm-hmm.
that is that we worship a Savior who is a risen Savior. He
right.
did rise, and he is alive, which is something that no one else can say about
mm-hmm.
the person that they are worshiping in their faith. Our faith recognizes that our Savior is alive today. He
is
not
exactly.
dead. He is
no.
alive, and he's
mm.
coming back. That's the other part that you have to remember. He's
Correct.
Coming back, and that's the reason why, as Christians, we really need to get the word out about
mm-hmm.
who Jesus is and what the plan is moving forward. He's
yes.
not just some guy who died on the cross and is living up in heaven. He's coming back. And when he
right.
comes back, there's going to be
oh,
a
boy.
Very serious war going on. But those
oh, my.
Of us who know him as Savior, we do not
yes.
have to live here and be in it, because we are going to be in heaven.
Right.
Amen? We
right.
are not
Amen.
Going to be here while
Mm-mm.
all the craziness is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So this
mm-hmm.
is this is one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why. You really want people to understand the word. If nothing else, they do not want to be living here during the tribulation.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, get them in whatever way you need to get them in. All right?
Mm-hmm.
God will
mm-hmm.
work that all out later. but they do not want to be here during the tribulation. It's not going to be a good time.
No, it's not pretty. So Revelations, read it.
Read it.
Read
it's
it.
Real. Revelation. Read it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so
all right.
when God was talking to me about, you know, resurrection, he says, you know, the other thing that people have to understand about that word is that it also means rising from decay or disuse.
Okay.
All right. Rising from decay or disuse. Some people need to resurrect their Bible.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, rising
Amen.
From decay or disuse, and it talked about revival. So to
mm-hmm.
revive something in your life, you know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
as people, we really get stuck. You know,
yes, we do.
We get stuck in places and in situations and on stuff that has happened and occurred, and we need to really move forward with these things. So I want to talk a few things about some of the things that God said, and it was so much about resurrection. So
right.
when Jesus died on the cross, few things that we need to remember, okay? All
okay.
right. So the first thing is that we have to remember he was not killed.
Hey.
He gave
hallelujah.
Up the ghost.
Yes, exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
He offered himself as a sacrifice.
Mm.
He
mm-hmm.
could have stopped it all at any moment. He never
yeah.
even had to go through those all that walking from this jail to that jail to, you know, this court
no.
to that court. He didn't even
no.
have to go through that if he didn't want to.
No.
Okay?
No.
But
go I got to say one thing. We have to remember that he asked God to take it away.
That's right.
You know,
he did.
You know, he made a conscious choice to do this. You know, because
mm-hmm.
all right, just wanted to bring that out. You know, because a lot of
yeah,
people don't realize
that.
Yeah,
that's important that. To know that he did. He asked God, listen, you know, if there's any way, just take
anyway.
This away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Just take this away from me. And then he says,
mm-hmm.
but you know what? I'm gonna do your will, whatever your will is. But I really
exactly.
want you to take this away.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And what happened? God said, no.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do. This is what I want you to do. And,
yes.
and understand that that's how God approaches all of us. God doesn't say, I'm going to make you do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We have free will. And I want people to understand that Jesus was a man when he walked on earth. He had free will. And
yes.
he decided to do as God asked of him. And he
mm-hmm.
gave his life away. He gave it up for us. And
yes.
he understood that this sacrifice that he was making, he understood what it was going to do. All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's important for you to understand he was not killed. He gave
no.
his life away.
No.
The other thing that's
no.
important is that
yes.
the sacrifice that he offered allows all people, okay,
Ooh.
All people to be able to have a relationship with God that is without the middleman. Right? You don't have to go through any other person, place, or thing. You could
no.
just sit there and talk to God because of what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's important
mm-hmm.
to understand that you don't have to make any offerings. You can come as you are.
You are. Absolutely. All
right? Now, and it's understandable how a lot of people can get tripped up by this. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, they caused us to fall and become, you know, people who are born into sin. And so what was happening during the Old Testament is that people would have to bring different types of offerings for different kinds of sins, and they had to go through the priest to get different types of forgiveness. But
mm-hmm.
Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice.
Yes.
The ultimate sacrifice.
His High
blood
priest.
Was so pure.
Mm-hmm.
So pure that it not only made a way for all of those people that died before, but it made a way for all the people that would come, be born, and die in the future.
Yes.
One sacrifice
Hello.
For all people.
The
you
debt
have to
is
understand
paid.
That.
Yes. The
it's
debt
paid.
Is paid.
And we
yes.
no longer have to offer sacrifices to our Lord. We don't have to bring animals and
mm-hmm.
have them sacrificed. We no longer have to go through a priest or a nun or another holy person
yes.
to get to God. All you
right.
need to do is open your mouth and talk to him right from where you are in the midst
right.
of whatever situation you are in. You don't have to clean yourself up to get to God.
No, no,
God
no.
God does the cleaning. If you try to clean yourself up, you'll never get there.
No, that's a lot of scrubbing.
It's a lot of scrubbing. It is.
Yeah.
You know, his death allows us to have the relationship that mm-hmm. Adam and Eve had.
And
walked with him.
Right.
You know, they communicated with him. They talked mm-hmm. with him. They
mm-hmm.
received instruction from him directly,
mm-hmm.
from him.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you have to understand that and what's awesome about it is that because of what Christ did, it is in spite of being born into sin,
mm-hmm.
in spite of the yeah. wayward ways that we think, in spite
right.
of the things that we may do wrong, it doesn't matter. Because when God
mm-hmm.
looks upon you, once you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, when he looks upon you, all he sees is the blood of Christ.
Ooh.
And there is no barrier between
yes.
you and God.
Absolutely.
It's not about you.
Tell it again. It's not about you. Hey, this
it's
is so strong
you.
For me. It's because a video for the day covered the same topic. If the spirit ain't working, I don't know what is. You know? What? Go ahead. Okay. Yes.
I mean, really. All right. So,
yes.
So if nothing else, you know, God pointed out those particular two things, that Jesus was not killed. He
mm-hmm.
gave himself up. And that his sacrifice allows us to come directly to God to have relationship with him. There
Absolutely.
Are a lot of things that you can talk about with regard to Resurrection Sunday, Easter, whatever you're calling it. But these are the
mm-hmm.
two things that God asked me to point out for you to be clear about and for you to understand. And it's important that you understand that Jesus was not killed because he was never defeated.
Mm-hmm.
He was never defeated. He was
never.
Not killed. You know, that's important
yeah.
to understand. So God
mm-hmm.
says, with these two things in mind, understanding that he was never defeated, understanding that he came so that you could have a direct relationship with me, here are some things that I would like you to consider resurrecting in your life. Amen? So
Amen.
The first thing that he told me was he wants us to resurrect an understanding of the word.
Ooh.
All right?
Hallelujah.
And the scripture, he brought me to a scripture for this. It was James 4 and 7, and it says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. All right? Now, here's
right.
the thing. He brought me to this word resisting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because many people feel that, you know, when you're resisting, you have to be opposed to something. So it's kind of like you're always going to be on guard. You're going to be
right.
in this fight, in this tussle, okay? But God says, no. No, Christians don't resist that way. The best way to resist the evil is to take on the qualities of good.
Yeah. That's
okay?
why he was a walking example. He was
absolutely.
A walking example. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So resurrect your understanding of the word. And when you look at this word, okay,
mm-hmm.
every word in the Bible is like this, by the way. You have, when you read it, you can read it flat. Okay?
Right.
Just like you
right.
read any other book. But when you read something in the spirit, it becomes alive. That's the reason why we
yes.
say it is the living word of God.
Yes.
And so
yes.
when you resurrect an understanding of this word, in the beginning we might think resisting the devil. Okay, that means I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that and I'm not going to do that and I'm not going to do that. Okay, it's great that you're not going to do all those things, but what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Okay. What are you going to do? So
yes.
let's, instead of talking about all the things that you're not going to do, let's start talking about all the things you are going to do.
Absolutely.
I am going to do this, and I am going to
mm-hmm.
do that, and I am going to do this. You know, you can decide that you're not going to do a lot of things, and Satan will be certainly very okay. Because if you're not
yes.
doing the things of God, you're still on his side. Still
exactly.
doing exactly what he wanted to do.
That's, and he does not bother you.
No, this is one of the reasons why a lot of people don't come to Christ. They don't come to Christ because they believe, you know, okay, I have to give up all these things. But when you
right.
look at the few things that you give up, in comparison to the greatness of all the things that you now have the ability to do, oh, honey, you will start giving up those things real quick.
They will fall
because
off.
Because
like...
what you're able to do, you know, what you're able to do in Christ is so much more than what you're unable to do.
Right.
Without
him. Right. Amen. Amen.
So it's important to resurrect an understanding of the word. Go back to the word. Take a look again at some things that you know within yourself. I don't know that I fully have an understanding, or I think that there might be more. Go back and read something else. Study something else. Watch something else.
And I would like to add to that. Use your highlighters, your pens. When God reveals a word to you and you get it, write it in the margin, because what it will do is document your spiritual growth. And you can go back to those things and refresh yourself like you're talking about, you know, getting a better understanding of the word. So use it like a textbook, you know, get into it, bend it, you know, crease
right.
it. It's okay.
It's your book. It's yours.
It's yours. Yes.
It's yours.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Go
ahead.
And for those of you, and for those of you who, you know, prefer to do things electronically, okay. So the electronic Bibles have places for you to write notes and have highlights and all that kind of stuff. Use it. Write notes. Write your understanding. Write what the Lord is saying. Use it. It is your Bible.
Yes.
It is your Bible. Use it. Don't be intimidated by that.
No. And it's not just, and it's not just to bless your home. The Bible in your house is not just to bless your home. It's meant to be used. You know, a lot of people have Bibles.
Yeah, a lot of people have Bibles that they have to dust off every now and then.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
But the other thing, too, is think of the rich legacy that you pass on into the hands of someone else. When they receive a Bible that has been used, you know, a Bible with notes. My father, he writes down, he goes to the scripture every Sunday that is preached in church, and he writes down the date and the person who's preaching it.
Right.
He does that every Sunday. And he can go back and he can see how many times and who taught him lessons on these particular verses. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, it is.
That over the years, he's been using the same Bible, and then he's able to see how God has layered his understanding of a particular word.
Amen.
Because God teaches precept by precept.
Yes. Amen.
So, you know, all those things are important.
Very important. Amen. Ooh,
so,
fight today.
The next thing that God told me that he wanted people to consider is that he wanted them to resurrect desires and callings. Resurrect desires and callings. So I have a lot to say about this.
Okay.
You know, sometimes we put things down because we fear something, fear of this, fear of that, fear of success, fear of failure, fear of whatever. You know, the question is, how has your fear served you?
Wow.
How has it served you? You know, because I can honestly say that in my own life, there have been times when I've dealt with fear, and it never served me well.
Yeah.
It hindered my life.
It does. It does. It's the devil's greatest manipulator. You know, I myself, out of fear, almost closed the ministry about 5 years ago, you know, but it was based out of fear and based out of what the world would think and react to what I was doing. So it's just fear. And he didn't give us a spirit of fear. So we're dealing with... we're dealing with a spirit that doesn't come from God. And it's that simple. It doesn't come from God. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. No, it really doesn't. And, and you know, when you're talking about fear, I mean, the Bible tells you plain as day, I have not given you a spirit of fear. So here's the thing I want you to understand about that. Let me say the whole scripture. That God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Please understand that when he's saying of power and of love and of sound mind, he's talking about a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. That, now, here's what you have to understand. He's not talking about general fear. He's not talking about general fear of crossing the street when a truck is coming. He's talking about the kind of fear that paralyzes you and doesn't allow you to do ordinary things.
Right.
Okay? That is a spirit. And that is something else, being in control of you.
Yeah.
God did not give us that spirit.
Right.
And you have to understand that spirits are real.
Mm-hmm.
No. I want you to resurrect your desires, and I want you to resurrect your calling. So let's talk about desire for a moment. And
okay.
In order to talk about desire, I need to talk about emotions, okay?
Okay.
So emotions, you know, they just are. They don't have intelligence. Emotions just are. And so when you understand that, you have to understand that emotions do not have barriers. Therefore,
right.
You can easily be led the wrong way if you're going just based on emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right? Sometimes we base many different things based on how, just simply how we feel. But you have to understand that emotions do not consider timing. Emotions do not consider situations. Emotions do not consider realities. Emotions just are, and therefore you cannot just base life simply on emotions. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, emotions are a great tool, especially when it comes to motivating people.
Right.
But your emotions can motivate you to do crazy things.
Yes, they can.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hitler had emotions.
Yes.
Slave owners had emotions.
Absolutely.
You know? When you look at evil dictators, they have emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you have to be careful about your emotions. Now, emotions are great informers. Emotions can tell you, they let you know that there's something going on. Emotions help you experience life. But emotions are not intelligent. Now, discernment is intelligent.
Hello?
Okay, discernment is not simply emotions. It can use emotions. It alerts you through your emotions. But discernment is insight.
Yes.
Okay, discernment is a gift of God, and discernment holds the truth.
Yes.
Okay, discernment is a knowing. Okay, it is the Holy Spirit communicating with you.
Yes, it is.
Discernment
yes, it
is having a very keen perception. Okay? Now, let me tell you how you know the difference. People that live from emotion are touchy. But people that live with discernment are prepared, wise, and powerful.
Amen. Yes.
Okay? Emotions don't give you any kind of security.
No. No.
But you can have all the security you need when you're operating in discernment, because discernment is the truth of God, the Holy Spirit sharing information with you.
Yes.
Okay? Therefore, I want you to now understand this emotion of desire, because God uses desire to awaken you into to look at a direction that he has for your life. So it's good for you to have desire as long as you're operating in discernment. If you have a desire that won't go away and you really have a compelling towards something, you need to just go to God for clarity. And when you get your clarity, just move.
Yes. Move on what he said.
Right? Once God says to you, yes, I want you to do this, just move. I remember a cousin of mine saying to me one time, oh my gosh, I just want to act so bad. I really want to be an actor. Do you think that God would actually want me to do that? Of course he would want you to do that. See, we tend to think that God only wants us to do things that need to have that angelic music playing in the background.
Exactly.
But God wants people in every area of life. I want you to think about Christ when he walked the earth. When Christ walked the earth, he walked in all the places that the higher ups in the religious realm would not go.
Right.
Christ walked in all of the dirty places, the dark places, and he called people out of that darkness. And he told them that they were forgiven, and he shared compassion and love with them, and he sent them on their way and let them know that they could do better.
And that point, that's such a great point that you're bringing out, that he did not come for those who knew him. So we are not here to just preach or talk or discuss with people who already know this stuff. We need to go into the mud, you know?
That's right. That's right.
That's a good point.
Go ahead. We absolutely do. And do yourself a favor. Go as you are led. Don't just decide that you're going up into some camp. Because remember, we are fighting a spiritual battle. And if you're not spiritually prepared, you're going to go in there and evil is going to eat you alive.
Yes.
Okay? Look, God knows who he called to go where. So I say two things to you. Go where you're supposed to go. And stop telling other people where they need to go.
Amen.
Go where you're supposed to go and stop telling other people where they need to go. You don't know where God is calling someone else to go. So if there is someone who is saying that they're going to go to the bars, let them go. And if they're going to go to the strip club, let them go. And if they're going to go hang out with the homeless, let them go. You do not know what their calling is. And I'm telling you what I know. If they are called to go to these places, no evil will befall them. They can drink poison and it will not harm them. They will be amongst them, but they will need those things will not be in them.
They
will be the light shining in the darkness. How are these people going to get into the light if the light isn't brought to them? Most
said,
of us will not allow them to come into our churches.
Exactly.
We will tell them that they're not dressed right, they don't smell right, they don't look right. We will tell them all kinds of things and not want them to come into our churches. So somebody has to go to them.
Yes, somehow they have to be reached. And, you know, that is the vision. When God set this ministry up and gave me the vision, this is what he was talking about. He said, you know, people are not going to church, so I need to go where my children are. And he's always going to go where his children are, and that means everywhere.
That's right. And the thing that you said something very powerful, though, because God calls us his children before we even accept him. See, he first chose us. He first chose us. He calls us our children, and so he will send people to go and get his children. So if God is telling you to go somewhere, go. Somebody is waiting on you.
Yes.
They don't even know that they're waiting on you.
You
may
but
not know
who
they are, but when you get there, you will know.
Yes, you
so
will.
So if you have
you
a desire that won't go away, bring it to God for clarity. But once you get clarity, man, go.
Just go.
You know, desire is used, you know, people will tell you desire is not only used by God, desire is used by evil. Okay, desire is an emotion. It's not good or bad. It just is.
It is.
And when it comes to things in the spirit, it's just like things in the natural. Some people use natural things for evil, and other people use those same things for good. It's the same thing in the spirit. What God uses for good, Satan will use for evil. You just need to get your mind set on God.
Yes. Okay? And he said, keep it on me.
So how do you know that you're operating in the spirit of God? Because God's desires will not bring remorse. God's desires will not bring darkness of any kind.
Yes.
God is light, and there is no darkness in him.
Right. Right.
Okay? So
Amen.
It's extremely important to gain an understanding of emotions, of discernment, of how God operates in these things. How can you tell when it's... You can easily tell when something is God.
Very easily.
People who don't even know God know when it is God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a saying that, you know, a lot of people act more like Christians by mistake than those who try.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And you know what's funny? I was listening to Yolanda Adams' radio show the other day, and they were talking about a particular incident that happened. And she said something, and I said, I say this all the time. It's very true. And she said, there are a lot of people who are not Christians, who are not religious, who are not churched at all, basically.
But they
live very moral lives. It doesn't mean that a person is ugly, spiritually ugly, just because they don't belong to a faith or subscribe to a faith.
Right.
And that
right.
is very true. We make these assumptions about people, that even people that might call themselves to be agnostic or people that just don't believe in God at all, you know, atheists, we will make these assumptions about them being these ugly, horrible, evil people. But it doesn't mean that at all. It just means that they don't subscribe to a faith or a belief system. But it doesn't mean that they, you know, many of these people are very moral, upright people wanting to do the right things
right.
in life.
Right, right.
Okay? It doesn't make them evil people. So, you know, you got to get your mind straight and your understanding straight, you know. And God says, I need you to resurrect your desires and your calling, because your desires are going to lead to the calling I have for your life. There is something that I have for you to do. There are things that I have for you to do. And these things are not being accomplished. And so in the realm of the spirit, there are so many people who are not where they're supposed to go, achieving what they're supposed to have, doing the things that they're supposed to do. People are not being saved, delivered, set free. These things are not happening the way God wants them to happen, because we have put our desires and our calling down. Many of us have put our desires down because we decided that desire is a bad thing.
Right.
No, desire isn't a bad thing. Your actions are bad.
Yeah. When you talk about the word desire, a lot of people associate it with lust.
Yes.
You know,
it's
like, you know, the desire covers a whole ram of things. You know,
it does.
So you really have to get your mind
you're
right.
It in one direction, and it, yeah, you're taking it in one direction, and desire means a whole lot more than just that one thing. You know, like it doesn't even begin to cover.
No.
So resurrect your desires and calling. All right. So the next thing that I want to talk about is God said that he wanted us to resurrect being different.
Okay.
And I chuckled a little earlier when you talked about peculiar people. You know, he said resurrect being different. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And I underlined the word his. Not just any light, but you are called
his
in his light. There's all kinds of light. I want you to understand that. But only his light is the one that we're concerned with. His light is like the truth, and then there's the whole truth. And then there's nothing but the truth. Yeah, we want nothing but the truth. Okay? And we are called into his marvelous light. Now, understand, you know, in our world, we tend to frown upon things that are peculiar. We associate peculiarity with being something that you need to be timid about, something that you need to be afraid of, something, you know, something that's probably associated with something evil. Think about all of the groups that we belong to, all the organizations that we belong to, the neighborhoods we belong to, the families that we belong to. All these things are about what we have in common. And God said, all that's fine, but I called you to be peculiar. Okay? Our religion teaches us also to be very similar, to be the same. If it's not the same, then it's bad. It's worthy of scrutiny. It's against God. No, God said, I called you to be peculiar. We are supposed to stand out.
Yes.
We are supposed to be different.
Yes.
We are supposed to be unlike the norm.
Yes.
Not behaving
yes.
like those
Amen.
People who are born into sin.
Hallelujah.
Okay? We
Hallelujah.
Are not supposed to behave like people who are born into sin.
Mm-mm.
Because
Mm-mm.
we have the remedy for that. It's just it would be no different than a person who doesn't have a cold to walk around sniffling, sneezing, and coughing all the time. Why are you doing that?
Oh, okay, that's a good
one. It makes no sense.
And no, it doesn't.
It's,
no,
it's
it doesn't.
It's just silly.
Yes, and
you know,
and you got to be proud of your being a you know a peculiar person.
Yeah.
You need to. Yeah,
yeah
it's like
because, and you're,
okay.
You're chosen to be peculiar.
Mhm. Mhm. That's what makes people. That in your light makes people be drawn to you. God would draw people to you because you're going to stand out like a beacon. You know.
That's right. That's right.
You know?
We are different. We have to look at
mm-hmm.
ourselves as being uncommon, and that's how
mm-hmm.
it's supposed to be. You know,
mm-hmm.
we rely on our God for our needs. We don't rely on our jobs. We don't rely on other people. We rely
mm-mm.
on God for our needs.
Right.
We pray
right.
for our enemies. We forgive the unforgivable. We believe
mm-hmm.
in things that other people don't believe in. And not only believe in it, we see a favorable result from these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
we don't seek revenge when people have done wrong to us. We behave differently. When you look at the behavior of Jesus, he was not like anybody else.
Right.
That's what made him stand out. People needed
mm-hmm.
to understand him. And when they
mm-hmm.
came and they heard him, his teaching was like, wow, that's
yeah.
so simple.
Yeah.
Is it
mm-hmm.
really that easy? Yes, it
yes,
is.
Yes, yes.
We don't have
get out of
to,
my head.
To worry like everybody else has to worry because we have
uh-huh.
the peace of God.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
you don't have to worry because you have favor.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry because you're his child and he's going to
yes.
take care of you.
That's the main point. That's the main point.
You don't have to worry about what you're suffering because he created you to be able to go through whatever it is that you're going through so that you can grow. See, he allowed
Amen.
It for your growth. Satan
mm-hmm.
meant it for evil, but God meant it for your good. What you're going
mm-hmm.
through is only going to last as long as it takes you to grow.
Yes. That's when you surrender.
Okay?
You
but
want,
once
you, want
you
to get
grow,
there.
You stop
yes.
going through it.
Yeah. Yeah. Surrender.
Just surrender.
You know.
It's a lesson.
Surrender.
There is nothing that you... I need to say that again because people do not understand. All right, let me slow this down for a minute.
Okay.
The Bible tells you that in this life you're going to go through stuff. It tells you that.
Mm-hmm.
There are still many people that come to Christ and they believe that by coming to Christ, that means that you're not going to have any problems. And so what
right.
happens when they first get a problem, they have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the foundation on which they built their belief system is shattered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So God says, let's resurrect it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He says, there's nothing that you're going to go through that you cannot withstand. And the reason why is because you were built for it.
Mm-hmm.
He is with you in the process. He's right there with you. He's not going to allow it to kill you.
Yes.
Read the story of Job.
Job.
Okay? You know,
that's right.
God told Satan, you know, hey, have you considered my servant? My
mm-hmm.
servant Job? And he's like, oh, you know, well, he only praises you because you have a hedge of protection around him. He was basically
mm-hmm.
telling God, listen, if you stop protecting him so much,
mm-hmm.
he is not going to praise you anymore. He's not going to be one of your children anymore. And God
mm-hmm.
says, I tell you what, I'm going to take the protection off, but you can't take his life. You could do whatever else you
right.
want to do, but you can't take his life. And
mm-hmm.
the moral of that story is, listen, you know, and people look at it as like, look at all his suffering and look at this, look at that. No, 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 no. God was with him at all. And at the end
yeah.
of it all, he received double for his trouble.
Yeah.
You see, you're not going to go through anything with God without reaping reward and benefit for what you go
mm-hmm.
through. And then once you go through it, you're done.
Yes, that's what
you
people
do. You
don't have
graduate. To go through it again. You graduate,
it's like,
right?
Yeah, right.
Because,
it's like repeating the yes.
Because Ooh. Once Satan knows he's defeated, he's not coming back that way again. Now he
no.
might try something different, but he's not
mm-hmm.
going to do that again.
But
so
when
you see people, when you are when you yourself or someone you know is going through something over and over again, it's only one of two things. Number one, either they didn't learn the lesson yet, or
mm-hmm.
number two, they don't know that they learned the lesson yet.
Yeah. Oh, I never thought of that. All right.
Yeah.
They don't know. They're blind to the truth.
They're blind.
They're blind to yeah.
Right. Either way, that's the exact thing. Either way, they are blind to the truth. They either
mm-hmm.
don't know that they learned the lesson, or they have not learned the lesson. Okay. I had a dream one time many years ago. And, you know, if anyone has ever heard me talk about my dreams, I understand my dreams to be things that are informing me. And I know the difference between when I'm having an informational dream and I'm just dreaming something ridiculous. Okay?
Mm.
And in this dream, you know, I often have dreams where I'm being challenged in some way. And I don't want to say often, but there are times when I have dreams when I'm being challenged in some way by something evil or ugly. Evil might be too intense of a word for someone, but it's something I know that is not of God. And in this particular dream, what happened is typically in my dream world, I was able to become invisible in order to escape evil. Okay.
Okay.
And in this particular dream, what happened is that I turned invisible, but evil came and stood right in front of me anyway and let me know that he saw me anyway. And it shook me.
Yes.
Because he knew I was there, even though I was invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
mm-hmm.
okay, so what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And God said to me in that dream, he said, new level, new devil, new rules.
Exactly.
Okay? So what that means is when you graduate and you're in your new level, see, this is why you got to be careful about what you're praying for. Oh, God,
yes.
take me higher. Oh, God,
mm-hmm.
give me a new dimension. Oh, God, use
mm-hmm.
me. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All right, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So you
gonna
go
give
ahead.
You, exactly,
you get this new level. This new devil is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a new platform. There's a new enemy that's going to try to oppose you. And there
yes.
are new rules of engagement. See,
mm-hmm.
here's the thing. The enemy knows the rules of engagement, just like with Job. He knew he could do what he wanted, but he couldn't take his life.
Right.
In my dream, that enemy knew that it could let me know that it saw me, but it could
mm-hmm.
not do anything else to me. So
mm-hmm.
all it could do
mm-hmm.
was let me know that it saw me, and I could feel the heat of his breath.
Mm.
And when I opened my eyes, I could see him, and he was looking directly at me.
Mm.
But why didn't he do anything to me? Because he couldn't.
No.
He knew the rules of engagement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I needed to learn the rules of engagement so that I could defeat him.
Yes.
And
yes.
then once I defeated him, it's on to the next chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So I can
and
learn
here.
The new rules.
And here he comes again.
Right? And the thing,
right.
but here's the thing is, once you know those rules, everything that exists in that at that level and below, you can defeat it.
Right. And, you know,
so they
and
don't
also,
tend to come and bother you.
Yeah, the devil doesn't have very many tricks in his book. If you start
no.
really looking, you know, looking at it, you're just, he doesn't have, he, you know, he's, anyway, he's not
and,
that
and,
smart.
And I'm glad that you said it that way, because in our American mind, we look at things from a hierarchy standpoint. So when we
mm-hmm.
think about, you know, going to different levels, we think about a devil that is stronger. No.
Mm-hmm.
He's not any stronger. The thing you have to remember, he was defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He was defeated. So, you know, just hang out with the Holy Spirit. You're going to defeat this devil. What it is that you have to get used to a new way of thinking. And you
yes.
have to gain new spiritual knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And once you obtain that spiritual knowledge, now he's defeated. But until
mm-hmm.
you understand that spiritual knowledge, it's not that he defeats you, but he
mm.
has a little bit of an upper hand. He can
mm-hmm.
antagonize you.
She can make you miserable.
Yeah.
He can. He can just make you absolutely miserable.
And this brings us back full circle when we were talking about resisting the devil. Instead of you saying, I'm not going to go over there, I'm not going to face you, I'm not going to... No, don't do that. Just add more of the Holy Spirit. Just pray to God more. Just read the Bible more. Just talk to the Holy Spirit more. Just meditate to the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit more. Do more of that and watch what happens. These other things begin... They don't even challenge you. You're like, oh, man, I'm not going to waste my time.
Right. When you get to that point,
I'm not going to waste my time.
That's the point God is trying to get you to. I'm not going to. This battle was not yours, it's the Lord's. When he said that, he meant it. He meant that you have nothing to do with this. Go somewhere and relax. Enjoy your blessings. It's heaven on earth. You know, you live a totally free life when God takes away, you know, as you go to different levels, and it's you, anyway, let me stop talking. Go ahead.
It brings to mind to me the Israelites when they were in the wilderness, right? The Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years to go a mile, right?
Walking around in circles.
Walking around in circles for 40 years, right?
Yeah.
And it was all because they refused to rise to a certain level of belief. That's really the only reason why they were in the wilderness for 40 years. And what had to happen is that a whole generation of them had to die off because they were the ones who were in charge, and they just could not believe past what they believed. Now, I want you to think again what I said a little bit earlier about sometimes people – they don't move forward, and they're facing the same thing because they don't realize that they have arrived, right?
Right.
It's the same thing. You know, you have been reading your Bible, you have been associating with God, you've been communicating with God, but you don't understand all of the power that he has given you, all right? And because you don't understand it, you still keep playing with the same little kids. Now, these little kids know you don't belong there, and they don't challenge you either. Because they know that if they challenge you, that they're going to be defeated. And what I'm talking about is the same thing with Satan. Okay? You'll be reading, you'll be studying. You don't know how powerful you are.
Right.
But Satan knows that he's defeated. And so there are certain ways that he's just not going to come up on you. Because he knows you're just going to snap right into the reality of what you know, and you're going to knock him backwards, and you're going to defeat him. Okay?
Right.
So he tries to come at you from a direction that you don't yet know.
Right.
That's how he's coming at you.
This
is the reason why always resurrecting your understanding of the word, as God said, is important. Because the more you learn, the more you're able to go past these tricks of the devil.
Right. Amen.
Okay. So be okay with being different. Be okay with being peculiar. It's the way you're supposed to be. You're not supposed to look like everyone else. Different is wonderful. Different is wonderful.
It is. It is.
Okay.
It's very diverse.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're really close to the end, and I just want to get to these last two very quickly. So God also says he wants you to resurrect your curiosity. Okay? Don't just know what your beliefs are. Think about them. Don't be so quick to say that you understand certain things of God or the things of God. When was the last time that God showed you something new?
Right.
When was the last time that God gave you new insight on a foundational teaching? That's really hard right there because we hold on to our foundational teachings like we hold on to breath. Okay?
Right.
And God says, you know, sometimes I want to shake up that ground so I can loosen up those roots and give you some more room to grow. The same way we do with plants, you know?
Amen.
So when was the last time that your belief system was actually challenged? When your belief system is challenged, sometimes you shouldn't don't just dismiss the challenge. Sometimes you have to take a look at that challenge again. And say, God, are you talking to me? You know, and you'll know because what happens is somebody will challenge your thinking, or something will challenge your thinking, and, you know, when you get quiet, it comes up again, and you're like, you know, God, something about that is bothering me.
Right.
You know? And then you go to him, and he starts teaching you. That's him shaking up that foundation and giving you more room to spread roots. You know?
Right.
We don't know God, but yet we behave as if we know all of the answers about him. We don't.
Amen.
So God says, become inquisitive like a child.
Yes. Yes.
Right? He says,
right.
Be like a child and
mm-hmm.
watch what you can learn about in the process.
You're right.
Of becoming like a child. All right? And then the mm-hmm. last thing is God said he wants us to resurrect our hearts.
Yes. Amen.
Right? We spend a lot of time guarding our hearts because we learn
mm-hmm.
that real well, you know. And guarding is our hearts, that is something that we should do, okay? It is for our protection. I get all of that. But some of us have guarded our hearts to the point where we have actually made our hearts become hard.
Yeah.
And God cannot work with a stony heart.
No.
All right? Ezekiel 36:26 says, a new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing you have to think about. When you think about Jesus, if there's anything that he had, it was compassion.
Yes,
you know, the Bible talks all the time about the compassion of Christ. When he went places and they said everyone was healed, that was his compassion. That was his love. But
mm-hmm.
you can't have a stony heart. You
right.
cannot have a stony heart
mm-mm.
and have compassion at the same
no.
time.
No
They're
way.
Flip sides of the same coin, and God needs us to be compassionate. It's, you know, if you know if you know of anyone that ever plays with clay, with modeling clay. I'm not talking about Play-Doh. I'm talking about real modeling clay.
Right.
Modeling
right.
clay is very stiff when you first
mm-hmm.
start working with it. But the warmer it gets, the more pliable it becomes, and you can make it into anything that you want. And that's
exactly.
what God wants with our hearts. He wants
right.
our hearts to be soft, pliable, moldable, bendable, so that he can use us. Amen?
Yes.
He wants
Amen.
To use us.
He definitely
so very
does.
Very quickly, we talked about resurrecting things. So resurrect our understanding of the word. Resurrect our desires and our calling. Resurrect being different, because we are different and it's good. Resurrect mm-hmm. your curiosity and resurrect your heart during this holiday
All right.
season. Move into a resurrection mode. Amen.
All right. Amen. Hey. Pastor Horvath, thank you for that Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost filled session.
Praise
I
the
think
Lord.
A lot of people, like a lot of people, needed to hear that. But we're going to see you the second Tuesday of April at
yes.
7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 Eastern, and we're going to roll out of here like we always roll out of here. What how great that are! You be blessed and thanks so much.
You do the same. Amen.
Okay. Amen.
All right. Bye.